Father, as always, I thank you again for the entrance of your word. He brings us light. Let that light and understanding shine in our hearts even today, that we may know the things that are freely given us of God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Under new management. Hallelujah. Before you think of what it might mean, don't worry about that. Just relax and listen in. And I'm going to engage you at the end. Praise the Lord. Because I'm going to pray after delivering the message and the teaching or the lesson this morning. I'm going to engage you to pray with me. Hallelujah. But let's get started. We're going to go from Genesis to Revelation. It's not going to be long, but we're going to cover this message the way the Lord wants us to bring it here. The first thing we find out, I always like to go back to the beginning. And the first thing we find out was what God said in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. It revealed his intention, what was in his heart. And we find out that he talked about dominion, which is what I want to talk about today. Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let him have dominion over everything, he said. And of course, he goes on to say in verse 27 that the Lord actually did make the man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. And the Lord blessed them. And he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it, he said. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And we jump here to Psalms chapter 8. I am going to read verses 3 to about 9. And I want to start to call out right away some of the punchlines from this lesson today. And here we go. Psalm 8. Verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and has put all things under his feet. Hallelujah. All things under his feet. Well, let's read that verse again and get one thing straight away from this lesson. Thou madest him. In other words, you made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. That was again the intention. Now, this verse didn't exactly say, you know, that he gave him dominion. He did. But it also reveals that what the purpose of the reason that God made him, you made him to have dominion. So that was their purpose. Right away from the beginning, God made him to have dominion. God made him to have dominion. I can't stress that enough. God made the man to have dominion. Hallelujah. That was the purpose. Well, God's ways are perfect. But the Lord gave the man a choice, as we all know. And through disobedience, they fell. Man fell and lost the glory of God. At the beginning, there was something around the man which we call glory and honor. Because it says right here in Psalm 8 and verse 5, crowned him with glory and honor. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we are told that all have sinned and fallen short of this glory and this honor that God had crowned him with from the beginning. Well, that short verse has a lot inside of it. I like to say it's fully loaded. If man fell from something, what was that something? And how do we get it back? Well, the way to it back has already been made. We'll find out here in this lesson. Romans, let's read chapter 6. And this whole chapter tells you, gives us some understanding. I'm going to read only one verse, verse 16. Do you not know, is what he said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, he servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Why is this important? Because fast forward to the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, when Satan confronted Christ during his temptation in the wilderness, which we know the story. Here's what the devil said to him in Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. He showed him, you know, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's actually like a vision. And then he said to him, well, all these things, he said, all these power will I give thee and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. How in the world did he get it? I don't see any place in the scriptures where it was God's intention for Satan to have this glory and this dominion. We already read whom God intended to give it to and whom he actually gave it to. But we see how somebody stepped in and usurped it because of Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. When you obey somebody or something, you yield yourself over to that thing. When they obeyed the devil, the Lucifer in the serpent that sowed the seed of doubt and, you know, in their heart to discredit God's integrity, God didn't really mean that. He knows that you will be wise and this and that. That's why he said that. And then when they obeyed that, they yielded to him. That's what Romans chapter 6 verse 19 said. So basically, they yielded to him everything they possessed. And the devil knew that. Crafty, he knew that. But let's take a step back and see what Adam had for just a minute. I've shown you how Adam had it and how the devil now said he was delivered. It wasn't really given to him. It was delivered unto him because, you know, they yielded to him to obey him. And we're told if you yield, then you belong. And you are the servants of whatever you yield to. So the devil usurped it. Jesus didn't argue at that point because he had a plan. Back to Genesis. After that, God said, and he gave them dominion. Well, he made them in his image and blessed them and said, have dominion. So he actually did. That was his plan, and he did. And Adam operated in that realm for a bit. Because we see that in the book of Genesis chapter 2, the Lord, after he made the man, he brought to him all the animals, you know, and so on, to see, you know, what he would call him. You know, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. This is in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19. every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living thing, that was the name thereof. So basically, the Lord just stepped back and said, Adam, you got this. Whatever you say goes, that's dominion, folks. That's bigger, way larger than authority. Authority is, I give you power to do this and that. Dominion is, I put you in charge. You are in charge. Whatever you say goes. And whatever Adam says goes. You know, and whatever he said at the time went. Until this day, if he called it a lion, that's what it was. If he called it a whale, that's what it was. If he called it shark, that's what it was. If he called it an eagle, that's what it was. And the Lord didn't, you know, the Lord just said, cool. God had deposited in him all the knowledge that he needed to have dominion. And God had put the glory in him. You read that in verse 7 of Genesis 2. The Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils. And he deposited a complete package, the essence of God, from the breath of God into him, which had the complete knowledge that he needed. He had the knowledge of God. He knew what to name those animals. He had dominion. You know, those animals, they came to him. Nothing was yelling or growling at him. The dog was not barking at him. The lion was not growling at him, or the tiger or anything. You know, he, you know, just gave them their names, gave them their assignments, put them in their place. The glory of God was upon him. You know, to, and that essence around him caused everything else that was looking at him to behave. They looked unto Adam and they were enlightened. They got instructions, you know, the glory of God around Adam subdued everything. Well, that changed after a while. After the fall, they lost their glory. And then all of a sudden they said, well, and that's why we call it the fall. It was actually, all they did was disobedience. And, but we call it the fall because they fell short. You know, all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. That's why we call it the fall. It was in heaven that Adam fell from, folks. He didn't fall from heaven. But there is no record in the book of Genesis that God took Adam to heaven, or that Adam went to heaven in all that account that we saw there, you know, for all the things bringing the animals to him and all the putting him in charge of the garden. All of those activities were on the earth. It wasn't in heaven. It wasn't heaven he fell from. He fell from dominion. And this dominion, you know, is what the devil stole because they yielded to the devil. Now, when the glory departed, all of a sudden they said, oh, we're naked now. And then they became ashamed and they were hiding all over the place. Well, that's what happens when people are outside of the glory of God. The glory of God is supposed to be like this bubble around us. And that's what Adam was in. He was in the bubble. And the bubble, the animals could sense and see, perceive the glory, and it put them in check. Through the disobedience, that bubble was busted and nothing there to keep the animals in check anymore. So they all became wild. Everyone started growling and barking and doing all of these things. Even the plants became wild and so on. Everything just became wild. And we fast forward to the story of Noah. And I'm going to bring out another punchline here. And we know that, you know, by the time of Noah, you know, the whole world was already corrupted. In fact, that's what God said. He said, the whole earth is corrupted after me. And, you know, well, I wish I didn't even make them because, you know, their heart was continually evil. And that's all they did continually to aggravate the Lord. And the Lord said, well, you know, enough of that already. But he had a plan. He was not going to, you know, delete the whole earth or the everybody. He was going to wipe off all the evil and start over, you know, but he had a plan. And we don't, you know, we don't know that it was Noah that told or pleaded for the earth. We didn't see that story at all. It wasn't Noah. I say, oh, don't destroy them. No, the Lord was going to destroy everything. But here is what happened to Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw in verse 5 that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord, it repented the Lord. He regretted that he made the man on the earth. It grieved him to his heart. Well, remember, his ways were perfect. He knew all of this, though. But we're showing, you know, God is showing us his heart here. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. See, what man did brought evil upon everything else. I mean, why is the Lord going to destroy the beast and the man? I mean, along with the man. It's not the beast that did anything. But everything was corrupted because of the man being corrupted. And so every creeping thing and all of that, he said, I'm going to do it. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 8, that's another punchline for today's room. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And by grace, the grace of God, he was able to tap into something that was no longer generally available. Let me say that again. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And through that grace, he was able to enter into something that was no longer generally available. Now that's what the grace of God can do. Enoch found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked with God. Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. He also was able to discover and enter into something that was no longer available generally. Because the Lord said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And Adam and the rest of them were dying or waiting to die. He said, well, we're waiting to die. But Enoch, he tapped into some knowledge that was no longer available, that he actually could go without dying. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord did the same thing, you know, that he did for Adam. The dominion returned for a while. Hallelujah. The Lord said to Noah, bring all the animals, male and female, into the ark. I mean, can you just imagine that? That was impressive. Because they were already wild at that time. The whole thing was already corrupt. Glory of God was already gone. But somebody tapped into that glory because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he brought the animals. Can you imagine? It was like an audition. The whole animals were auditioning before Noah. And he would just select. He looked for the best of each kind, just male and female. The rest of you go back to the bush. Yeah, you go into the ark. I mean, it was amazing what he did, the dominion that he had. And all of a sudden, all the wild animals became docile again. And they just, you know, obeyed. And when they got in the ark, Noah gave them instructions. You stay over there and you behave yourself. No growling, no barking, no intimidating the chicken, and so on. Told all the hyena and the, you know, and all the wild beasts. They all became very domesticated. None of them was wild. Nobody was acting out of line. And everybody lay together here and there and so forth. Amazing stuff. Just imagine it in your head. Amazing dominion that he had. Well, fast forward back again to our story in the book of Luke. Well, by the time the devil was confronting Christ here, all of that was lost. For thousands of years, close to 4,000 and so on. I mean, God waited, looking for the appropriate time to bring that redemption, which was promised in Genesis 3 and 15. In Genesis 3 and 15, we are told that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the devil. Not just kick his butt, but bruise his head. Kicking his butt was easy. You know, maybe just kick his butt and so forth. You would just pain him a little bit. But when you bruise his head, he's vanquished. Hallelujah. And so, but when he made his boast to the Lord, Satan did, that all these things are delivered unto him, Christ didn't argue anything. He had a plan. But what was the plan? The plan was how to bring the whole earth back under new management. That's what we're talking about today. Under new management. And Jesus waited even for the first 30 years. We heard very little about him. One time when he was 12 years old, we heard what he did when Joseph and Mary's mother went somewhere with him. And when they left, you know, because there was a lot of crowd in their family and everything, they thought he was there with him, but he wasn't there with them. And when by the time they discovered him and had to travel back, 3 days had passed. They found him in the temple, you know, communing with the doctors of law and philosophers and so forth, asking them and doing all kinds of questioning and reasoning with them and so on. And everybody was amazed. After that, we heard nothing more. For another 18 years, we didn't hear anything. And then when he was 30 years of old, we see in the book of Luke chapter 3, he began to say, and Jesus began to be about 30 years of old. And then he gave his genealogy. And then we see that he began to come out. 30 years. I mean, God already waited 4,000 years or so. And he sent somebody to fix it. And he wasn't going to take any chances this time around. You know, and then he still had to wait another 30 years. Now, that's another lesson and a punchline for us here today. God is aware of your situation and he's working to fix it, but it may not happen overnight. And Jesus arrived on the scene. He came for a purpose, but it did not happen overnight. In fact, he had to wait, grow up like a man, because the devil, he would go up to God, to the court of heaven and say, no, they can't do it. You know, if God would have come, you know, like God, you know, and so forth. And then actually God couldn't do that because it was the man that sinned. So a man had to pay for it. Although he was God in the spirit, he had to take on the flesh of man to pay for it, for what man did. And he also had to become a man. Couldn't do it as a baby. He couldn't do it when he was a youth. Had to become a man. And it took him 30 years. And also to be a rabbi, according to Jewish custom, he had to be 30 years old. So he waited and did all those things. And then when he was 30 years old, he came out. Now he's ready. Can you imagine what he was doing all those 30 years? I would say he learned obedience. He went back to the house. He was subject to Mary and Joseph. Probably learned some carpentry and what have you, and so on and so forth, you know, and he was just doing all things around the house, you know, many things he probably did, which were not recorded. But when he came out, he'll be tempted of the devil, and they had this exchange with the devil. Jesus had a plan in his mind. And finally, here is what I want you to compare. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. With Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. In Luke chapter 4 verse 6, the devil is bragging that all the power and the glory of the world has been delivered unto him. Okay. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, that was the devil's declaration. Well, let's see Jesus' declaration here. And Jesus would make his own declaration. Devil made his. Jesus didn't argue with him at that time because he hadn't gotten there. He had to go through a process, had to give his life to ransom the world and all that, to get it back under new management. He had to pay for it with his life. So finally, he said, after that was all done, in Matthew 28 and 18, here's Jesus' own proclamation now. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, that's not delivered unto him. That's giving unto him. That's right. You know, all power. The devil said all these things are delivered unto me. Well, because they obeyed him, so he usurped it. Now, Jesus paid the price, went through the perfect plan, paid the ransom. As he said in John chapter 6, you know, my flesh is what I will pay as a ransom for the life of the world. And he paid that ransom. He got everything back. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Fast forward to the book of Revelation chapter 5. You have to bring all these things together. I said I will go from Genesis to Revelation. Now I'm in Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, you see him, shadowy figure, the bloody lamb coming out, you know, and stepping up to take that book, glory to God, which nobody else, no creature in heaven, on earth, or anywhere else was found worthy to even look upon the book. He stepped up, he took the book, glory to God, yes, and when he did, he put one foot upon the sea, one foot upon the land, raised his hand up to heaven in the figure of what looked like an angel. He swore by Almighty God. Well, angels don't generally swear. And he said, everything is now time. Time no longer. The mighty angels now ready to possess the earth. Well, he was really an angel, is a messenger. The messenger of the covenant, according to Malachi chapter 3, steps up, takes the book, and is now ready. Glory to God. So from the time that Adam lost it to the time that Jesus regained it back. And now let's look at, we've covered that, you know, time span. And let's look at how Jesus did it. When he was on the cross, wanting to fulfill everything. You know, many things Jesus would do, the scripture would say a commentary that it might be fulfilled, such and such. He would do this and this. And he fulfilled just almost everything until the point of the vinegar and all of that. And so he said, I thirst. Hallelujah. When he said, I thirst, well, they gave him vinegar to drink. And after he drank it, that was fulfilling. And one day I'll cover all of the prophecies in the Old Testament about Christ and all the things that he fulfilled. But suffice that at this point, you know, when they gave him that vinegar, he said, now it is finished. Glory to God. It is finished. And when he said it is finished, in Matthew chapter 27, you know, and verse 34, they gave him the vinegar. Well, the it is finished part of it is recorded in, it's recorded in the book of John, the Gospel of John. You know, but else happened when Jesus gave a ghost. In Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 34, we see some very dramatic things that happened. Well, we already know that when Jesus died, after they gave him that vinegar and all that, you know, at the end, he was talking about God forsaking him. My God, why has thou forsaken me and all that? And after a few more minutes, he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit, and he gave up the ghost. And when he gave up the ghost, we are told that a number of things happened visibly. Some other things happened that people didn't know anything about. After he gave up the ghost, we see that there was darkness upon the face of the earth. It looked like for 3 hours there was darkness. And then we also see, you can read all of these in Matthew 27. We can also see that the temple veil was rent in twain from top to bottom, in verse 51. And there was a great earthquake, and all the rocks and everything broken in pieces, and the graves were even opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 52. They arose, but they stood on guard. They couldn't do anything, really, until after his resurrection. You know, but after his resurrection, they came out of the graves. And it's an amazing story. Even though it's written only in two sentences here, it's an amazing story. You see how that as soon as Jesus died, even the graves could no longer hold the bodies of the saints. My goodness. They arose. Jesus hadn't even arisen yet. That's why they couldn't come out, because Jesus had to be the first fruits of that resurrection. But they got up and they're waiting in their order to come out after Christ. And when Christ came out, they also went out into Jerusalem and other places. And the Bible said they appeared, you know, to the disciples and so forth for many days. That's an amazing story. It's a hidden story in the Bible, which many people don't know, but it happened. There are some things that happened by the death of Christ. We also find out that there is a prophecy in Psalm 68 that Christ needed to fulfill. Now, this man, David, was a messianic prophet, you know, just like Isaiah. He wrote many things, you know, about the Christ. In Psalm 68, you know, here's what he wrote. Thou hast ascended on high, verse 18. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with his benefits, even the God of our salvation, and so on and so forth. And he said, he that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God belong the issues from death. Issues from death. This prophecy here is about Christ. You know, Christ is going to come out, you know, I mean, after he was on the cross, he died. They're going to take him down from there, put him in the grave, and everybody's going to think that that's it. But that's not it. He's going to go and fulfill this scripture here. He's going to go and take captivity captive. He's going to go there and whoop the devil, bruise his head, collect from him the keys of hell and death. And he announced it in Revelation 1. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. And the book of Hebrews tells us that he did that he might deliver those who are under the devil's captivity and even bondage of fear of death all their life. He just delivered them from it. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. And so we see that the Lord, you know, he got the issues of death, life and keys and health and so forth. Got it from the devil. Took captivity captive. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 to 13 refers to that. You know, it said that the Lord, you know, ascended to heaven, but before he ascended, he descended first into the lower parts of the earth and took captivity everything that the devil had, which he was boasting about before. Devil, you know, boasted. The Lord took it all from him. glory to God, and say, it is now under new management. Now all power in heaven and on earth is delivered. I mean, not delivered, given to me. Glory to God. Praise God. Difference between delivered and given, I already explained that. So now Christ and everything becomes new. Now let's begin to bring this lesson home now. I've given the whole picture of from where it started, the dominion that was given to Adam, that he lost, that the devil says delivered unto him because they obeyed him. And whosoever you obey, the servants you become of that thing or person. And we've seen how Christ did it, got everything back, captivity, issues of death, everything. Got it all back and proclaimed that all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. From that point on, if any man be in Christ, glory to God, he's a new creature. Now, I love the word new. Every time I see that in the Bible, it excites my heart. I will do a new thing. I rejoice when I see that. If any man is in Christ, a new creature, I rejoice when I see that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. New creature. All things are passed away. You are now under new management. Glory to God. We're no longer to solve sin. Sin is no longer our manager. But now, the spirit of life, the spirit of grace from Christ, that's what is now ruling our lives. That's one aspect of the new management. When your life is now in Christ, we no longer have to be under sin, nor the condemnation of sin. But we are created as a new, you know, creation in Christ. A new creation. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus as a new creation under new management. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Bringing this home even more, we see that there are many aspects for which we can turn over, various parts of our life to Christ. Up until you make that decision, maybe the devil is ruling. Maybe the devil is having a field day, around your family, a field day around your marriage, a field day around your finances, a field day the devil's having around your business, all things. Remember, the devil, he said, he's all delivered unto me. Somebody had to bruise his head to separate that from his hands. And so, but here is Christ at the end of it all, standing in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and 20 and saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open unto me and let me come in and take over management, then you can become truly under new management. Now, God's not going to force anything. You must turn it over to him. But when you do, when you give him the wheels of the car, then let him drive. If you struggle the steering wheel with the driver, that car is going to crash. That's another punchline for today. We can't have two drivers, folks. One person driving, that person struggling the steering with the driver, that car is headed for a crash. And when Jesus is standing at the door, wanting to come in, he wants to take management. He wants to take control. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. A lot of people don't agree with it when I say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. People say that God is in control of everything. Maybe, and maybe so, but he has chosen to give dominion to man, and man lost it. So the devil became in charge of many things, and God was just patient. thousands of years. And even after Christ paid the whole price, God is still not in control of the things that you don't give him control over. Hallelujah. You know, when evil things happen in this world, people blame it on God. You can't blame it on God. God's not in control of all the, you know, murders and violence, you know, and all the genocide and all the evil that people are doing in this world. The devil is the God of this world. You know, now Christ has already broken his power, but individually you have to tap into it just like Enoch did. It's not global just yet. It'll be global at some point in time when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. But right now it's not global. It's on a one-to-one basis. If you can find grace in the eyes of the Lord like Noah did, the grace of God having appearing into your life, teaching you that get away from the old management, come under the new management, give your life, turn it over to Christ for new management, then he's in control. He's only in control of the things that we give him control over, folks. Even though he's in control of all things that relate to his eternal purpose, the things that relate to our lives, he has given us a free choice over. If you turn it over to him, then he will be in control. If you turn it over to the devil, then the devil is in control. Or you yourself can be in control, whichever way you want. But when you turn it over to him, when he's opened the door for him, when he's knocking, you bring him, you come on in, and you hand him the master key, folks. The master key that opens all rooms in the house. You cannot bring him in and say, well, you can't go in over, that room is locked. I don't want you to touch my marriage. You know, I'm going to remain in bitterness. You know, I don't want you to touch my relationship with my brothers and sisters. I'm going to remain in unforgiveness. I don't want you to touch this part, that part, and so forth. But you can come in the house, and I'm going to give you some keys to these rooms, but you can't go in those other rooms. Those other rooms are locked. But you haven't given him control then. If you want to give him control, you give him the master key. You say, search my heart, O Lord, and reveal, deliver me from anything that is not pleasing to you. Any part of my life, you give him control. Then he has control. You know, and so let's stop saying God is in control of everything. God is in control of everything. God is in control of everything in the heavens. Yes. According to his eternal purpose. Yes. But upon the earth, when you're dealing, when he's dealing with you, you have to give him control. Even when he arrested Saul on the road to, you know, when he was going to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, some people quote that scripture and say, Jesus arrested him. Jesus arrested him quite all right. But Saul had to say, what wilt thou have me do, Lord? You know, until he said that, Jesus couldn't do anything with him. And that's the way it is. Until you turn it over to the Lord, that devil is probably still in charge. And he'll play ping pong up and down with your life. He'll mess up, try to meddle with your family, meddle in your finances, meddle with your marriage, meddle with your children, meddle with your life, meddle with everything. But today, hallelujah, I invite you to turn all that over to new management. And Jesus is standing right here. Glory to God. You might call this some kind of an evangelical call today to turn it over to the Lord. Even those of you already believers, many areas that you haven't turned over, many areas where the devil is still having a field day. But today, we're going to say, enough already. Hallelujah. Thus far and no further. No more. Glory to God. I'm going to kick you out from meddling with my life. I'm going to kick you out from meddling with my children. You cannot have my children. You cannot have my grandchildren. You cannot have my business. You cannot have my family. You cannot have my marriage. Glory to God. You're going to kick him out. You're going to boot him out. You're going to turn it over to new management. You're going to put a sign. That business is now closed. Glory to God. It's now over into new management. So a lot of businesses, they close sometimes. They'll close it down for a while when they're about to shut it down for new management. They'll shut it down. And then when it reopens, they'll say, under new management. Glory to God. So let's shut down the affairs of the devil, the chaos. Remember, in the beginning, there was chaos everywhere. The Bible said the earth was without form and was void. There was chaos. Something happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. I won't get into that today. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, he begins to move upon that situation. Now, the chaos that may be in our lives, we're doing the best we can to serve the Lord, to love him, to enjoy his presence and everything. But we haven't figured out how to turn everything over. And that's why, you know, things are still going the way they are in some areas. Today, I invite you, if you will hear his voice through this lesson, let's turn it over. And I said at the beginning that I was going to engage you at the end. I'm going to engage you now into this aspect of standing and making your own declaration. See, it's whomsoever you obey, his servants you are, that you obey. You obey sin, you obey the suggestions of the devil, you obey how devil tries to diminish and discredit God's credibility in your life, or his integrity, or integrity of his word. You say, well, you know, that can't happen. You know, when God says all things are possible. I mean, I can go on how the devil, through subtlety, beguiles the minds of people, and even the minds of believers. Through subtlety, he will beguile your mind. You know, when the Lord gives you point blank instruction, forgive, you say, well, I can't do that because I'm hurt too deeply. Okay, fine. Now you've turned yourself to obey disobedience rather than the obedience. You have yielded yourself to obey unforgiveness rather than the Spirit of Christ. And so, the servant you are to whom you yield yourselves to obey. And so the devil is having a field day. You know, and the devil is roaring, going all about. God said to him in the days of Job, whence comest thou, Lucifer? And he said, well, I've gone up and down the whole earth and so forth, you know. And the Lord said, well, I know you're going up and down, but have you seen my servant Job? I mean, the devil is going up and down, strutting his stuff, looking for whom to devour, 1 Peter 5 and 8. And also, you know, bragging that, look, I can roam all over this place I want, you know, and I can steal and usurp things from the from the unlearned ones, you know, and from the ones that have no covering. The devil knows what to do. He knows how to play the game. He's been doing it for thousands of years. But there is one champion that came and bruised his head, got captivity from his hands, got the issues of death from him, keys of hell and death, he got it all. And he said, now all power in heaven and on earth is delivered unto me. I mean, it's given unto me. Now you come and turn it over to me, your life and everything that's part of you, all that pertained to you, you turn it over now to Christ and come in under new management. So the step that we are going to take today, hallelujah, and I'm going to pray now in a few minutes. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to pray and I'm going to engage you in this prayer. What we're going to do now is pray this prayer together. We're going to say, Satan, no more. No more. You cannot have my life. You cannot have any part of my life. Even, see, our choice, your choice that God gave you, you know, and people say, I didn't have a choice. You always have a choice. Even if you choose to not do anything. It was a choice. You always have a choice. Nobody should ever say, I didn't have a choice. You always have a choice. When you make a choice to not do the right thing, you already made a choice. And even if you did nothing, it's your choice to not do anything. Whatever it is, we always have a choice. So even our free will, hallelujah, we the Lord will never take from you. When you surrender it to him to bring it under his new management, now you are his. Glory to God. Now he can say, yes, you are now my son. I will be your God. You are now his property, folks. That's right. When you become God's property, he'll take care of business. God's not going to turn over anything over to the devil. But until that aspect of your life becomes God's property, you know, you may have committed your life to Christ. You may be trying your best to live for the Lord and so forth. But that area that you haven't committed to the Lord, the devil is still having a field day. So we're going to say it is enough. Enough is enough already. Glory to God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Hallelujah. And God loves to do new things. You know, he said it many times in the book of Isaiah. I will do a new thing. The Lord loves to do a new thing. And shall you not know it? I can bring your life even under new management, saith the Lord. But you must turn over control to me. That's exactly right. That's how it works. You must turn it over to the Lord. Glory to God. And then he fast forward into the book of Revelation 21. And he talks about all new things. Hallelujah. Before I go there, let me read Isaiah 43. The Lord said, just read it. Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19. Behold, you know, he said, remember ye not the former things, that consider the things of old. I will do a new thing. And shall you not know it? I'm offering you new, to come under new management. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And then you fast forward to Revelation chapter 21. You go to the first, you read the first five verses, you know, of that powerful, powerful depiction, you know, of all the things. You know, God loves new things. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away and so forth, you know. And God began to wipe away all tears. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, none of these things. For the former things are passed away. And then in verse 5, he says, and he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. That's the end game, folks. And he said, right, for these words are true and faithful. And he said again unto me, it is done. This is the same thing as it is finished that he said on the cross. Fast forward to the book of Revelation. He says it again. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. I make all things new. And he that overcometh, will I give to inherit all things. I'll bring him back into that dominion. Hallelujah. He that thirsts, let him come and drink of me, the water of life freely. And he that overcometh, he shall inherit all things. So you come back into that dominion, which was lost at the beginning, because I brought it all back. And you can have it. But you must turn control over to me. Now, here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to pray for everyone that's in the room here today. And I want you to pray with me. If there are aspects in your life, any aspect at all. Now, as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit was convicting you already of aspects that you need to turn over into new management. You need to say that business is now closed. Glory to God. And I say it even to those who will be listening to this replay later on. That business is now closed. You close it down. Hallelujah. And when you reopen it, comes under new management. This is why we get baptized, folks. This is why we do it. Because when you go under the water, we're not talking about sprinkling water on some baby's head. That's not baptism. You know, baptizo is immersion. This is the reason why we do it. You know, when you go under the water, hallelujah, you're saying, well, that thing is dead. That business is now closed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And after that, when you come out into newness of life, you say, now I'm under new management. Glory to God. New management, folks. So that's our prayer today. Now, if you would want to join me in this prayer today, I invite you, let's believe the Lord together. Glory to God. Let's believe the Lord together. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit just said, read that one that you just said. Well, I'm going to read it. It's Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Buried with him in baptism. Hallelujah. Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead, and now you are coming to new management. That's right. You know, all your sins and circumcision of your flesh, he has quickened together with him and forgiven you all trespasses. But you are coming into new management. So if you are here this morning and you would like to pray with me, I invite you, let's pray together. For those of you who are in the, if you are in the listening lounge, I ask of you, raise your hand for prayer. I'm now going to bring you up for this prayer session. Just raise your hand, because I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. We're going to unite under Christ's own declaration now. All power in heaven and on earth is given unto me, Christ said. You don't need to be under the dominion of the devil anymore. You need to come under my new management. And I'm going to give you the dominion that I promised from the beginning. Glory to God. God has made man to have dominion. This was the purpose. And so we're going to kick the devil out. Kick him out of your life. I want to see those hands raised. Kick that devil out of your life. Glory to God. As many as their hands are raised here, I am going to pray over this room today. Glory to God. You know, and God is going to do something new. But this is the part that you must play. You've got to say, I am done with the devil. No more. You say, I believe I can pray that prayer. Absolutely. Because we're still trifling with sin. We're still trifling with the devil, playing ping pong with our lives. Look, and if you don't know how to pray, folks, the devil will have a field day. Many believers don't really know how to pray. You know, we just, all we know is, Lord, just bless me and so far you run off. You know, no. This is a different prayer that we're going to pray here this morning. A prayer that brings every aspect of my life under Christ's new management. And I'm going to say to the devil, enough already. You cannot have my children. You cannot have my marriage. You cannot have my future. Hallelujah. You can't have my future. You can't have my children. You can't have my business. You can't have my education. Whatever it is, every one of you knows what it is. You know where the shoe hurts. And you know what you are dealing with. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you because indeed the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And I thank you for the light of the Word of God today that has been shed in our hearts by the revelation of this lesson this morning. Glory to God. Or afternoon, wherever you are. And now we invite you, Lord. I want to close down shop of those areas in my life that the devil had rulership over, when he said, it is delivered unto me. And I'm going to say to Satan, Satan, get thee behind me. You cannot have, and I want you to pray that prayer. Pray with me, those of you who are here. You cannot have this area of my life. You cannot have whatever it is. You can't have my marriage. You can't have this. You can't have that. You know what it is. On stage, you want to be a part of this prayer. Click on your photo. Click on move to audience. And then click on hand raising. I want to see those hands that are raised. Because I'm going to focus. I'm going to direct my attention to the hand raising channel in this room right now. So those of you, if you want to give a reaction later, I'll bring you back up to stage later. But right now, I want you to drop to the audience if you want this prayer and then raise your hand. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to pray over every hand that is raised. Glory to God. And in a way, when we raise our hands, especially when you raise both hands to the Lord, what does it mean? It means carry me, O Lord. Hallelujah. It means I'm turning it over to the Lord. You know, those little children, when they want to be carried by the parent, they come there and they raise the hands. They just raise their hands because they want to be carried. Now, if you raise your hand to the Lord this morning, you're not raising to me. It's just an act of faith and an act of obedience. You know, sometimes the prophet will say, you know, go and dip yourself, you know, in River Jordan or this and that. And say, well, you know, I can't do that. Are there not better rivers and so forth? Sometimes the Lord will say, you know, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. It's not that he couldn't do it right away. Just want to see your act of faith and obedience. Hallelujah. You know, so what the Holy Spirit said this morning for you to drop yourself to the audience and raise your hand is just to see your act of obedience. And as I present these hands before you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, every hand that is raised here, you may be there for yourself. You may be there for your families. You may be there for your children. You may be there for your business. You may be there for your job. You may be there for your education. You may be there for some aspect of your spirit life that you haven't turned over. You know, you still have some root of bitterness. You still have some grudge. You still have some, you know, look, you still have it if you're still talking about it, even though you say you're done with it, but you still talk about it. Enough time goes back, you talk about it again, you know, and, you know, so that means it's still there. You know, we need to cleanse all of that. Let's, having therefore, brethren, these precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and of the flesh. Glory to God. So I see all the hands raised. Thank you for raising your hands. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your humility. Now, let us pray together. Glory to God. You know, even where you are, you can say the prayer with me. I just wanted to see those hands. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. Now, I'm turning this aspect. Now, you say whatever aspect it is that you're turning over. You tell the devil, I'm closing those doors. I'm shutting down that shop. That business is closed. Glory to God. I'm closing it right now. Glory to God. You're no longer in charge. I'm closing that aspect of my life. I'm now turning it over under new management to the Christ. Glory to God. I turn it over, Lord, freely to you. Freely I turn it over to you. Take charge and take control, Lord. For I know that all power in heaven and in earth is given to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The devil has been stripped of it. The devil has been disgraced. The devil has been defeated. The devil has been dethroned. Ah, all the evil plans of the devil in my life are broken in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now I turn my life over for new management. And there may be some people that will listen to this replay later on that have not even taken the most critical step in your life to turn your life over to Christ. And that's your opportunity. Or you've turned it over, but you are still struggling the steering wheel with the driver. You're going to crash. You need to let him drive. Hallelujah. So Father, Lord, we turn the steering wheel over to you and we say, drive, Lord. Glory to God. Drive! And I'm challenged. I'm putting out that devil. I'm kicking it out of my life. You cannot have my marriage. You cannot have my business. You cannot have my children. You cannot have my education. You cannot have, you know, whatever it is. You can't even have my health. Hallelujah. Now, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for bringing that in. The devil cannot have your health. Glory to God. Turn it over to the Lord for new management, because the power of the Lord is present to heal even now. Hallelujah. Now, there is a diagnosis, there is a report, there is a whatever the health situation may be that you have right now, in this moment. Glory to God, because the power of the Lord is present to heal. In this moment, turn it over, hallelujah, and say, the devil, you cannot have my body, you cannot have my health. I'm turning it over under new management. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray the healing power of the Lord. And that healing that the Lord gives is not just for health. He can heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. He'll heal the depression. He'll heal the disappointment. He'll heal the bitter waters. He'll heal the brokenheartedness. He'll heal all these things. That's why we call him healer. When we call him healer, you call him by his name. Turn it over to him this morning in the name of Jesus. Your finances, everything chaotic, turn it over to him this morning and say, Lord, or this afternoon, I give you control. I want to start listening to the Holy Spirit from now on. Satan, you cannot have my finances. Not anymore. No more. Hallelujah. Thus far and no further. No more. No more. Hallelujah. Enough already. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Today, I take a stand. I take my place in liberty. Hallelujah. I have been set free. And I will not put my yoke, my neck under the yoke of the devil anymore. In the name of Jesus. Christ has set me free. I rejoice in the liberty that the Holy Spirit gives me. I put my life under new management, the management of Christ. That old business is closed. I'm shutting those doors forever. Throw the keys away. It's closed. Open it up again under new management. And let him have the master key. He can go in everywhere. Every single door in the house. He can go in, not going to shut him out of anything. Now he has control. He's now in charge. And see how your life will turn out. Glory to God. The master himself now has the master key. Into his hands we have delivered. Into your hands, Lord, I commit my life. Every aspect of my life. Areas where the devil has played ping pong with my life before. Bounced me up and down and so forth. No more. Hallelujah. No more. No, I'm no longer going to straddle the fence. One foot in righteousness, the other foot in bitterness. One foot in doing that which is right, the other foot in disobedience. I'm not going to do any of that anymore. Enough of that. Hallelujah. I turn my life over to Christ. Take control this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.